Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:10 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is June 28th, and there is a couple of different things to talk about today. But I thought I would kick off with the Fangman versus the total market cap of the NYSE ratio. But that also comes in the wake of this speculation that the U.S. government is going to tighten up sanctions against China's importation of chips, and particularly the fact that Nvidia altered its A100 chip to perform less well, so that China would have to buy more of this A800 chip. It will basically do the same thing as the A100, except that you need more of them to achieve the same goal. So it just basically increases the cost of doing business for Chinese companies, but doesn't stop them from doing it. And that's obviously going to raise the cost, but doesn't really abide by the spirit of the law. So I think it is likely that they are going to increase sanctions. But then that's also one of the reasons why investors have been buying so aggressively. Now, inflation in Australia is coming down, and it's down nearly 3%, so from the peak back in December. So that's definitely a peak of medium-term significance. But the impact of tighter monetary conditions hasn't really fed through yet, and it's still the same story that we're seeing across multiple different jurisdictions about the roll-off of shorter-term fixed-rate mortgages. And what is that going to mean for various economies? Because on the one hand, it enhances the potential for strife within the housing market, but then, of course, it will also be one of the primal factors in containing spending. So, and obviously, if you tell people that their mortgage payment is going to increase by at least 10% of their income, or perhaps more than that, then obviously they're not going to have the same ready availability of cash to continue on their spending, at least not for very long. And this hope that by the central bank that they're going to use savings in order to compensate. Well, you can only use your savings to compensate for so long before you run out of your savings. So then it's really putting the onus on the central bank to bet when those savings will run out and what are they going to do about cutting interest rates. And I think it is that interplay that is also contributing to this relatively strong position in stocks. So, one thing that we can certainly say is that the Fangman index is at new highs, which means that the large cap is rising faster than the rest of the market. But then let's just think about the rest of the world. So, China is trying to talk the talk in terms of encouraging foreign capital into the country, but they're not walking the walk in terms of action. And I think anyone who's got any experience of doing business in China is really, it's less about what they say and more about what they do. And China seems to have forgotten that particular message. But the Chinese markets were in positive territory today. But what I thought I would start off by doing today is to look at the individual components of that Fangman index. So let's first look at Nvidia. And one thing that I think is worth perhaps before doing that is highlighting the fact that this is a new all-time high, and we're up to 24% now. So it's almost a quarter of the entire market cap of the US markets is occupied by eight companies. The one that has basically been falling off relative to the rest is Netflix, but that was in positive territory today. And now starting to firm here above the 400 level. I will say that the quality of Netflix shows has been improving, and they do seem to have altered their algorithm. Now, one thing I think is also particularly relevant is when we talk about artificial intelligence and everything that's going on in the market. The reality is that Netflix has been using an algorithm to write the scripts for its shows for years already, and that worked fine for a while until they started just pumping out copycats, and each show was basically the same as the last. with just the exact same plot twist at every point along in exact order, so that you could almost overlay one on top of the other. And they do appear now to have at least attempted to change that, and it is creating more interesting content. And I think that's a justification for why then the share should improve, that they're producing a better quality product. And then they've also clamped down on password sharing. So having had the massive decline from $700 to about 150, we've had a good sized rebound. Now it is overbought in the short term, but at least it is holding the break above the 1,000-day moving average, and most particularly above the $400 area. Now Nvidia has really surged over the course of the last 9 months, and it is also holding around $400. And it was in negative territory today, but not in an especially dynamic manner for a share that is trading up around these levels. But it is looking a little tired, and having had that explosive move where the price basically went up almost 50% in the space of 3 weeks, I think it is not unreasonable to anticipate that there will be pause in consolidation, and most particularly if we see a big source of demand. And not just potential demand, but real demand, actually being taken out of the market if sanctions are increased on Chinese artificial intelligence companies. Now, let's also just pay attention to what's happening with Apple. So, the share was also in positive territory today. It was only up, though. Well, it wasn't up all that much, but certainly pushing on to a new high and testing this $190 area. The big psychological level now for Apple is 3 trillion, and if it goes up again tomorrow, like it did today, it is quite likely to hit that level. Now, I opened a short position last week because I don't think that Apple is going to exceed the 3 trillion mark. And I really don't believe that the VR system that they've created is anything particularly special relative to what's already on the market. What they basically did was just take everything that is available, put it all in various different products, and put it all together in one product. I don't see anything especially new about it. And the fact that the battery only lasts for 2 hours, well, that probably gels quite well with the fact that it's very hard to wear a VR headset for more than 2 hours, and not least because of the eye strain and because they get sweaty. So I don't, Apple is still going up in a fairly consistent manner, but I just think that it's unlikely to be able to sustain a very clear break up to new all-time highs. Then Microsoft is pausing in the region of the $350 area. Now it was in positive territory today as well, but this is definitely a pause underway here as investors begin to really filter down into not only the implementation of artificial intelligence, but how much money are they going to be able to charge for it? Will they be able to hike subscriptions? Will they be able to create new product offerings that they'll be able to charge additional cash for? And that's not really a question yet that Microsoft has a ready answer for. Now, Amazon has seen that it's getting some competition from cloud, and the big other big cloud companies like Google and Microsoft are competing for its business. But then you also have the real potential that demand from consumers for everything else that Amazon sells is going to become less reliable as monetary conditions continue to tighten. We also know that the forbearance on student loans is going to run out in the USA, and it's going to end in August, and then the first repayments will start in October. So that does suggest then that the ability of people to continue to fund their spending is going to start to come into question, and the ruling on whether the debt forgiveness is going to be legal or not is probably going to be within the next 2 weeks from the Supreme Court in the USA, and that is likely to have a knock-on effect for the perception of a recovery in the retail sector more generally. And now let's also think about Tesla. So some of the existing EV companies have benefited from the bankruptcy of Lordstown. Now, Tesla is now right in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs. Now, it has put in a higher reaction low, and it has broken back above the 200-day moving average, but the downtrend is pretty much where it is right now. So it's rather imperative that it hold the recent lows. And of course, Tesla has been the go-to company for artificial intelligence for several years, and Nvidia has taken that mantle. But now the bigger question is, are they going to win the price war that they've started? Are they going to be able to contain the competition that's going to come from Chinese exports of EVs? So, but I think this consolidation right now, how well it holds, how well the lows hold, is going to be pivotal for the outlook for the share more generally. Now let's think about Google. So, it's a widely perceived threat from artificial intelligence that Google and its dominance of search are going to be problematic. I will say though that yesterday I was playing with ChatGPT and I asked it, well, make me a bullish case for investing in China. And it wrote a bullish case. And then I asked it, make me a bearish case for why not to invest in China, why I should sell China. And then it made the same case. Now, the thing is that the way it reads is like a platitude. And it doesn't make very convincing arguments. It's simply just going through and pulling stuff off the internet. So everything sounds right, but it doesn't actually gel with what is likely. And I think that that is something that is probably going to be beneficial for Google, because when you're searching for something, you want the real answer. You don't want something that looks like the real answer. Now, obviously, Google has festooned its page with advertising, and they've made it increasingly difficult to actually find the thing you're looking for. But it has broken the downtrend, and it is bouncing from the region of the lower side of this range, but most particularly, it is holding the move above the 200-day moving average. So I think this is more convincing recovery action overall. Now, Meta, along with Netflix, is the other one of these big companies that had the huge decline, and it has subsequently rebounded very emphatically, and it looks to be on its way to recouping a lot of the decline that that took place. Now, it's also likely that they're going to veer away from looking at the metaverse, even though they renamed the company, and instead focus more on artificial intelligence. It's worth reminding ourselves that it was Facebook that made all their data available and basically seeded the entire industry. Now, I think that was a smart move because it basically immunized themselves against the possibility that they're going to be accused of injudicious behavior. The one thing that the social media companies have basically figured out is that free will, in many respects, is a myth. And depending on what someone is fed in terms of their feed, it can have a profound effect on how people think and what kind of decisions people make. And of course, from a seller's perspective, then that's very powerful. And when you knit artificial intelligence into that kind of way of thinking, then that's something that can drive profitability. And I think Meta is well aware of that, which is why they open sourced it, because they're not going to take the blame all on their own. Now, if we then just zoom out and look at various stock markets, well, the S&P 500 is still reasonably steady, but It's still also hovering here around the 4500 level. And I think we're still in an environment where investors are not really pricing in the potential that interest rates are going to continue to rise. And there is this mismatch between the fact that bonds are starting to rally because central banks are basically saying that they're not going to be cutting interest rates in a hurry, and stocks are basically quite firm because investors are willing to believe that that central banks aren't going to have any choice but to cut interest rates, and that's mutually incompatible. Now, I do think that with the pass-through of balance sheet accommodation from central banks, it is quantitative tightening is the primary factor that's going to help to control inflationary pressures. Now, oil prices are another one. Now, the price has been exceptionally inert for the last 2 months. Now, I was saying just yesterday that it had plenty of time to rally and still put another tail on the candle, and it's starting to do that now. Now, if that, of course, holds through Friday, we'll have another example of the price bouncing from the lower side of this range. But it is still holding below the 1,000-day moving average. So I think that eventually we're going to get a clear and dynamic breakout. And when it happens, oil prices are going to move at least $10 in about 2 days. And that will break whichever trend. It will either extend the downtrend or break the downtrend, and it'll do it in a very emphatic fashion. But it's not happening just yet. Now, natural gas prices have been the commonality between various jurisdictions has ebbed back. So, the price in the USA, having pushed up towards the upper side of the range, is a bit weaker in here today. And then European gas prices have also been quite volatile. We had the pop on the upside 3 weeks ago, but subsequently the price is starting to come back down again. Now, on one hand, that is a reflection of the volume of gas that has been moving around the world over the last year and a half in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but it's also reflective of slowing economic activity. And Germany is in a recession, but that isn't really affecting the DAX index. It's right in the region of its all-time peak. And this is also a total return index, which so the higher dividend yield is helping to improve that. Now, the FTSE 250 in the UK has also begun to steady here, so bouncing from the 18,000 level. Now, this is beginning to suggest more of a risk-on environment following a fairly deep pullback, but I think it's also in response to the dollar strengthening and the euro and the pound easing back a bit in here. So there is a bit of nominal price appreciation coming through in some of those indices as well. And then you had the head of the Bank of Japan today cracking jokes at the meeting between central bankers and saying that the delay in monetary pass-through is about 25 years in Japan's experience. But what that also helps to highlight is that Bank of Japan is in no mood for tightening up, and that continues to depreciate the currency. So the Nikkei was in mildly positive territory in here today. And that is now bouncing from the most recent low. And did dip down into the underlying trading range, but it is now rebounding. So it's a low of at least near-term significance, and there's potential for additional upside. I'm tempted to buy my long back. Now, the Australian dollar was also weaker in here today, so then that also lent some support to the ASX 200. Now, One company that seems to be popping up in the news is BrainChip, and that's in response to people speculating about Elon Musk's brain chip interface. So, at least in Australia, there's a company that actually is listed in the business, and it's perhaps giving the beginning of evidence of a short-term support, but this is a clear medium-term downtrend. It has fully unwound this speculative mania that we saw at the end of 2021. And there's an increasingly large number of smaller companies that are giving more convincing evidence than this of base formations. So, StoneCo is a Brazilian payments company, and it has first step above the base characteristics, and it is now testing the region of the 200-day moving average. And then the ARK Innovation ETF, having collapsed in 2022, is also back above its 200-day moving average. So a lot of bad news has been priced in to these sectors, and investors are betting that there won't be a recession. I think it is more likely that we're simply looking at a delayed pass-through, and that eventually there will be a recession, that it will create more attractive entry opportunities. But between now and then, I think investors are going to be willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And that's going to be true of most markets. Whereas the contraction of the yield curve is something that is not going to simply disappear. And it's usually when it reverses, that's when the biggest selling pressure comes through. But until central banks relent, and relent in response to sharply weaker economic activity, then I think investors are going to be willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, because particularly because investors need to feel like they are doing something to earn their returns. And that means they have to be invested. It's one of the pressures that comes to bear in a mania type environment, and there is no question that a mania is evolving in the AI sector. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.